Ja, schönen guten Morgen. Hier sind der Wolverine.
Und der Tonarmleuchter vom Puck Rockers Radio. Wir machen heute unsere Morningshow. Das haben wir ja bei Facebook schon angekündigt. Und ich schlage vor, wir wechseln ein bisschen auf Englisch, weil wir heute Gäste haben.
Genau. Und ich übergebe dir jetzt auch das Mikro, weil okay. Dein Englisch deutlich besser ist als meins und du die Fragen hast.
Yeah, okay, we have an intellectual here who are playing today on the punk rock holiday in Tolmin in Slovenia. And great thanks to you for taking the time and giving us a few minutes. Must be very stressful arriving at a festival and talking to people and not having a quiet moment, probably.
Well, we arrived last night, so we had like an easy morning this morning. Just had a shower, had some breakfast, took a time. So,
yeah. Have you ever been here in Slovenia?
Actually, we played 2 years ago.
Ah, okay.
3 years ago, yeah, time flies by. 3 years ago on the beach stage. It was really great. I mean, we're very happy that we could come back, and now we're getting to play the main stage even, so it's even better, I hope and I think.
Yeah, a lot of people are looking forward to your gig. We talked with other people on the camping side, and
really?
Yeah, I think you got quite a couple of fans here.
Okay, nice, that comes in handy.
Yeah, some of them told us you're having a new album out for a couple of weeks, and he kind of at the album, and there were quotes included by the album that he could give away to his friends.
Exactly.
We released our album Engage I think a week ago now, 29th of July.
29th of July. Yeah.
And for the pre-orders that we did, we included postcards that people can send out to friends, and they include downloads of the album. So we hope. I mean, we're very surprised by how many people pre-ordered the album, which was very, very nice. But we're hoping they can spread the music even more by sending out cards to their friends. And that's pretty much the idea.
Real great idea.
Who came up with it?
Probably the first band doing this, I think.
Really?
I never heard that before.
I think it was just... I think it's really old school. It's a physical way of promoting your new album. So, yeah. I mean, downloads are not that old school, of course. But, I mean, I think sending out like physical stuff, promotional stuff... It's a fun way, and it gets people engaged for the new album, and
pun intended.
Yeah, exactly. But we wanted to do something extra for people that pre-ordered the album, so we included the postcards with the downloads, but also a picture from us on the road that someone else took,
it was personal.
It was handwritten. Yeah, yes. We hand wrote the message to them, thanking them for pre-ordering.
Always the same message, or.
No, we adjusted it a little. We didn't know all the people that ordered the stuff, obviously, so it was hard. But we mentioned their name, of course. That was the easiest and the nicest way to do. But if we knew people, we send them a personal message, and you know,
it's pretty cool.
Yeah, honestly, we didn't think that many people would pre-order, so it was a hell of a job in the end to do. But. It's really worth it, because we got so much good feedback on it, and people really enjoyed it. And you know, if they spread the word to their friends, it's all worth it for sure. So
And are the others downloading it? Can you check it? If
we should.
Yeah, we should, but we've been too busy playing shows. But I don't know. I could keep track of that. I'll look into it.
How has the reception of the new album been so far? I mean, it's just a week, but there's probably some reviews, some media.
It's been great, actually. Like, we've been getting a lot of great feedback, not only from our friends and acquaintances, but also, like, we had some pretty good reviews going, and some.
Is that an important thing to you?
Well, it sure helps. I think we got one pretty bad review in, which is, I mean, you can sort of...
Was it bad?
I think there was a British one that wasn't very positive. But I don't know, it's nice, like, to have the affirmation of, well, you guys did a good job, but I think it's mostly a promotional thing, really, you know, for the business side of the music. It helps if big magazines write nice words about you, but on a personal level, it doesn't really affect me if someone writes something negative about the music or anything. But yeah, good reviews are still something that does come in handy.
If I can say something, like, what meant a lot to me was like a couple of my longtime friends who kind of messaged me like, oh man, your album is out. It's great. I've got it on repeat. And it's like some of my best friends, like, that's what really counts to me. Like, that's like, give me a little smirk on my face.
Isn't that kind of a little bit of weird when your best friends are listening to your music? Well, is it, or?
I don't find it weird. I, you know, I listen to my friends' music as well. So, you know.
Yeah, I mean this, they are friends, and if they tell you they listen to it all the time, it could be, could sound like they are fans of you, but otherwise they're friends, so this kind of misbalance.
I think it actually also works the other way around. I really made some friends because I'm playing music in this band. I'm meeting a lot of people. So I consider those people friends, just like my hometown friends. So that it's a funny dynamic in between, you know, friends, fans. I don't really see there's a hard line between those two. And it, if my friends listen to it, I think it's a big compliment. I mean, and but as Tone said, like, I listen to a lot of bands that my friends have as well. So yeah, I don't see there should be a difference between a friends band and a non-friends band.
What about your parents?
Well, they appreciate the fact that I'm making music, but they don't play it on a daily basis.
My dad is actually pretty excited. Well, I come from a musician's family. My dad is a drummer, played in all sorts of bands, never like on a touring level, but he's like, well, both my parents, my mom is very proud as well. Like, at least, like, I'm in a band that my mom says, like, oh, I can listen to this, actually. I used to be like a really noisy metalcore bands and stuff, so she's glad.
My parents really like it. My dad is a musician as well. My mom is a music lover, and she actually came to our release show. So that's I guess that says something.
And if I calculated correctly, last year you had your 10th anniversary.
Don't count.
Don't count. Okay.
Don't try to keep track. Yeah, it really depends on how you define the existence of a band. Like, I think the first show we ever did with the name Intellectual was even before that. But the the first album we released, the full length album, was in 2005. So you could say last year was our 10-year anniversary seriously recording music.
It's safe to say you're doing this for more than 10 years.
Yeah, it's true. Okay, but on the other hand, Tone is playing bass for us now for 3 years. Yeah. So I think that's another milestone, or you know, how do you say that, a founding marker of our band. I'm not saying we only exist for 3 years, but still, exactly. So it's very hard defining how long we've been around.
Yeah,
I don't like to, you know, pinpoint one particular moment. That's when it happened.
But if you look back at the last years and try to look at the development of the band, and try to project it into the future. So do you have a feeling what's to come in the next years?
You never know what's gonna come, but I think we kind of have like a trajectory, like a direction we want to head to, which is like kind of up our game, you know. Like, we did that with the album. Like, we took a lot of care and put a lot of attention into producing it. Like, we started writing songs 3 years ago. I think already, like, just after the release of the last album, and like right at the moment I joined the band, and just the whole process was just like taking a lot of care on the songs, giving them a lot of attention, demoing them, let our friends hear it, let some other people who had some musical education listen to it, and try to kind of get these songs to be like more compact, more catchy, like work them better than everything like the guys did before. Like, it's my first record with them, but from what I've been hearing say them, it's a whole different approach. So, and I see, like, with the labels, the record labels we engage right now, that's also like a step up. Like, they're more serious. We've got for Europe, we've only got one label this time, and we've got one for Northern America, for South America, and for Japan. Like, those are areas we toured recently and would love to come back to. So, like, that's taking it a bit more serious than in the past as well. So I think, like, our direction right now is, like, not to play 200 shows a year, but, like, kind of up the shows we're doing, you know?
Yeah. And these developments, like, more compact songs and the things you mentioned, did it just happen, or is it a planned development?
I think that was a planned development. Yeah, but that sounds very fake or produced. But it's something we it was a plan. You know, we always have the plan to do things better. You know, that sounds very vague, but I think in this sense, better means we wanted to make more compact songs, a bit more catchy, a bit more accessible. We wanted to see if we could do that because we've had more complex and more elaborate songs in the past. So we wanted to try to keep it, you know, interesting. We tried to keep changing things and doing things differently. So that's why for this time we really wanted to be compact and catchy and see how far we could push that without and fast as well on the new album to try to combine that. And that was a challenge, but we are happy about how that turned out. But I think that felt like the natural progress for this new album. So, you know, we might change that for another new album, but for this time this felt like this is what we want to do and this is the direction that we want to go into. So yeah,
I think like there's still elements of that that complexity that was on previous records. It's still on this record on a few songs, but I think it's way more balanced of like having the complexity, having the energy, having like fast songs, but also having like a few slower songs that are a bit more accessible and catchy. And I think that worked out really well. Like the balance is really good.
Do you think about evolving without losing your core values or your core sound, or is that a thought you have, or is it?
I do think about that a lot, but I think it really differs from what perspective you listen to the songs. I think a lot of bands think, "Oh, we shouldn't change too much because we might sound like a different band," but I think we have a certain style, and even if we would like to get rid of it, I cannot change the way my voice sounds. And even my guitar playing has a certain style that I cannot get rid of because it's me playing, you know. And I think that really forms the sound of our band. And even if we would try to change that completely, there would still be elements that you would recognize. So I don't think that you can change too much too easily. But on the other hand, you know, if you really try or you use different instruments or a totally different production or you really change genres, then you can really sound different. But I don't think that happens too soon if a band decides that.
You could change the roles.
Yeah.
Playing drums.
Yeah. Playing bass. No.
I would love to play drums in a band once, but probably not this one.
I can't play anything but drums, so sorry.
Yeah. I think part of your band DNA, of the intellectual DNA is conveying a message in your songs on stage. Do you think it sometimes overshadows what intellectual in the whole band is?
No, I don't think so. Because I think that a lot of bands, I don't think we do it too much. I think that a lot of bands do it not enough. And I think there's a balance in that if we do it, it might seem like we do it a lot, but it's just because a lot of other bands don't do it at all. And I don't think there's a lot of people that don't like our band because we're too political, or that we only talk on stage about political stuff, for instance, because we don't. Like, we do mention it between songs every now and then, but not all the time. And we don't take too long, or at least we try not to take too long. And I really, I know people that don't like our band because they don't like the music, or, you know, they like faster or slower stuff. But I don't hear it very often that people don't like us because we're political or because of the political direction that we have something. So,
I think compared to other political bands or whatever you may call it, I think we don't really try and push a message in a sense of convincing people to make a choice for this and against this. I mean, the lyrics are really sort of more like a trigger for people to think about a certain subject and to make their own decisions on it. We try not to be preachy about anything that we believe in. We just try to challenge people into thinking for themselves, and I hope that helps in people not finding us a hardline political band.
And do you think you're getting through to your audience with the messages you want to convey?
That's always very hard to pinpoint, to say that if someone changes their view because they heard our song. And I don't think you should see a band or even just music as like, okay, you heard this music or you listened to this and now you think that. I think it's part of a bigger, of a wave or a movement of something, of political change or progress, if you like. And I think maybe there are some people that heard one of our songs and maybe they thought about becoming vegetarian or vegan, but I'm sure that it wasn't just because of one song from us. They heard
crew members turned vegetarian.
Well, yeah, that's definitely true. We took some people out on tour and they got vegetarian or vegan food because they were on tour with us, and they changed their diet after that, and they learned that it's very easy to not eat meat, and they continued doing not eating meat.
You didn't force them. Yeah.
Well, actually, before I was in the band, like I used to go to their shows when they were around, and I think Intellectual was one of the bands that kind of got me thinking about vegetarianism as well. So,
living proof.
Yep.
Okay. Are you in the Netherlands a lot, or are you more on tour, so you're not often at home?
Yeah.
Because when you look at certain countries in Europe, there are many countries which turn to the political right at the moment. And how is the situation in the Netherlands?
Of the political right?
Is the government more right than not more right in the sense of correct, but political right? So
yeah.
Conservative right?
Yeah, at this point they're pretty much conservative right. And there is this slight rise, substantial actually, a rise in even more like right-wing populist parties. Yeah. Like we have the Freedom Party, like Geert Wilders, he's kind of like a hot topic. He's been a hot topic for a few years now. He's just an outright asshole. Like he's like really right-wing, pretty extreme right.
Yeah. Does that impact your daily life?
No, I think it doesn't infect our daily life because he's not in power. He is really, the thing he does is like air crazy, idiotic ideas and really stir the masses. Yeah, he's really the Dutch Donald Trump, or his party is the Dutch AfD.
Yeah.
For Deutschland, he's that in Holland, but for a little longer than the AfD has been active. And he's not in power. He's being isolated by all the other political parties. So he is not like really making policy. But I think the atmosphere that he is creating in Holland, he's very anti-Islam and very right-wing and very anti-immigration and anti-refugee. And I think, and you know, since we're white Dutch people, it doesn't affect us, but I think it does affect the tolerance and the atmosphere in our country. And I think that's really shitty and bad. And you know, the sooner we can quit that, the better. But I think it's that's a wave as well, and it's going through all over Europe, in Germany and Eastern Europe and the South and everywhere. And I think that's something bad that we will overcome eventually, but it will take time. And
I think this kind of like we just got to stay positive, and I think that kind of also is in line with our like political engagement, is that we're not like trying to convey one certain political ideology, but we're just trying to stay positive and get people inspired and get people to discuss things and think things through, because like as the whole right-wing wave that's going throughout Europe, you just got to stay calm and not give in to it and just think things through, you know, and write songs about it. Yeah.
And if you look at the punk rock scene in the Netherlands, is it a big scene? Is it an active scene?
There's a few spots that are kind of active. It's not that big, actually.
I think it used to be bigger. Yeah. I think, you know, I don't want to use the same word every time, but also that's a wave. That's something that comes and goes. And I think we had a lot of touring bands like 5 to 10 years ago. But I think now we're in a dip. Like there's not that many bands that are touring, and there's not that much going on in Holland. And even if you look at European tours, you see a lot of Germany, of course, and the UK, and they will play Belgium and France. But a lot of tours skip Holland. And I think that's a sign that there's not much going on at the moment. But I'm sure, you know, it's going to come back, and there's going to be a new generation of people making punk music, and it will be back. But at the moment, it's a little low.
So your feeling is there's not enough people in the scene at the moment, or are there not enough locations where gigs can happen?
Well, I think it's a dynamic. You know, if there's not enough venues, people don't go there, and not many people get inspired to go to concerts, and not many people start listening to punk rock. And you know, it's a wheel. It's a turning wheel. If you get venues, then you get people. If you get people, you get more venues, and that's a self-fulfilling prophecy.
And are there any bands from the Netherlands you like to mention or like to promote?
Yes, a band called Dead Giveaway. No, I'm sorry. That's just.
So that's our second band, or
that is. Yeah, you got me. No. So what was the name? Dead Giveaway. Yeah. Okay. No, but let's talk about other people's bands. Actually, at the Beach Stage tomorrow, Coral Springs are playing. Yeah. They're a melodic female-fronted punk rock band from Leiden. What else are nice new? Sweet Empire is a Dutch band. They sound a little in the vein of Face to Face, Descendants, Dag Nasty. They're really good. They've been around for a few years and they tour occasionally.
The Real Danger.
But then again, there's not that many new bands really. Those are bands that have been around for a couple of years, and that are Sweet Empire. Harsh Realms is a new band, pretty new that's around it. That's touring a little bit. March. Yeah, it's a very cool band as well. They're new, a bit more rock and roll, but they're doing well, and they try to get outside of Holland as well. So that's a good thing, I guess.
I think if you take the more hardcore side of the scene in Holland, I think that's a bit more popular at the moment.
Yeah.
Like I've also got a couple of friends playing in hardcore bands. Like 80 Miles is doing really well. They're starting to play more shows in Germany and Belgium. Like it's a guy who used to play drums in another band with me, and some other friends of mine named Death Hounds. It's pretty doomy, but I kind of like loud stuff as well. So,
so you have quite a wide area of interest in music.
Most definitely. I think that counts for all of us.
All three, or are you listening to bands that sound like intellectual?
Well, of course, I do listen to those bands a lot because that's the music I love. But I also love like some 70s or 80s hard rock or hair metal. That's something I really appreciate. Some Van Halen and Whitesnake. Yeah, I'll sign up. Yeah,
I'm really into some soul and Motown. Like maybe that's really typical for a bass player to be.
What was it? Motown?
Motown, yeah. Soul music and funk. Yeah. It's really cool. And Thin Lizzy.
Oh, yeah, hard rock and emo. And some hardcore as well.
Did you have the chance to listen to the bands yesterday evening?
We arrived at like 9:30, I think. So we got to see Lagwagon and Sick of It All, which were great shows.
Definitely.
Yeah, very intimidating to see them on the stage that we are playing today.
Won't be a problem, I think.
Hopefully, we'll see. I'm looking forward to it at least.
And when do we have to leave, today or tomorrow?
No, we're sticking around for the shows tomorrow, and then we drive back home on Thursday. Yeah.
Okay. Thank you a lot.
Thanks for having us.
Any famous last words to our listeners?
Famous last
message you want to impart?
Let's just use it. We have a new album coming out, or that's actually out. So we have some very famous last words on that. Check them out. Thanks for having us, really.
Okay. Yeah, thanks for being with us.
Okay.
Dieser Podcast wird vermarktet durch die Podcastbude.